If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to Not Without My Sister. I'm Rosemary McCabe and I'm joined by my sister, not my wife, Beatrice McCabe. I always feel like what? If we say like it's Rosemary and Beatrice McCabe, it sounds like we're married. So that's why I feel like I always have to say my surname. You look, I mean, I can only see your eyes now with our new mic setup, but you look honestly so baffled by this. When I worked at the Irish Times, if we had two people with the same surname and they weren't married, we always had to write out their full names because you wouldn't say like Sarah and Claire Ashton because it implied that they were married. The same way you'd say Sarah and John Ashton. You know what I mean?
But like, how often would you be talking about just the two of them specifically? Because like, wouldn't you normally say Rosemary McCabe, Sarah Ashton, John Ashton? That's what you do anyway.
No, I'd say Rosemary McCabe, Sarah and John Ashton.
Not in a work context, you wouldn't. You do that if you're like inviting people to a wedding. But if you were saying like, at today's meeting, I need Sarah Ashton, John Ashton, you wouldn't be like Sarah and John Ashton because like you wouldn't be.
No. But this was if you were writing an article and you were going like, at the house were Sarah and John Ashton along with their neighbour, Claire Burley. Where am I coming up with these very British sounding names?
No, I understand, but I'm saying, Oh yeah, if they were married, but only if they were married, would you ever write Sarah and John Ashton?
Oh, so maybe it's not. I mean, I just thought it was a newspaper thing. Because like, I feel like if somebody was inviting us, like when I still lived with you, if somebody was inviting us, they might send something to Rosemary and Beatrice McCabe. I think that'd be fine. Just on the podcast, I think it sounds weird.
Rosemary, if they were inviting, well, but I mean, I don't think anybody would, okay, not now, I don't want this to be the entire episode, but like, I don't think you'd ever write a letter and address it to Beatrice McCabe and Rosemary McCabe unless you lived at the same place, in which case it would be okay to say Beatrice and Rosemary McCabe if we lived in the same house. Like, when would we ever be getting an invitation?
No, but that's what I just said.
But I'm saying then it would be fine, even though we're not
married. It would be fine in a letter, but I feel like saying it out loud sounds weird. That's all.
No, but if you live in the same house, which we don't. So like your example doesn't make sense because nobody would ever be sending us an invitation.
But I just said if we lived in the same house and somebody sent us an invitation, that's what I said.
Yeah, and I'm saying it wouldn't be weird.
No, that's what I said. I'm like, it wouldn't be weird.
I disagree with you. I disagree. There is no situation in which you wouldn't use the two in a work environment in which you wouldn't use the two. No,
we're not
wrong.
In a work environment.
You're wrong. Right. Anyway, so fascinated as I am by these naming conventions, I was thinking this week about something more fascinating.
I'll actually tell you yourself.
I know. Yes, that's what I was going to say. The inner workings of my mind, which honestly now are baffling a little bit to me. I'm a little bit confused by how we ended up agreeing on something that we were disagreeing on. I don't think we're actually agreeing.
I'll tell you how, because you would disagree with the stick in the road. I think you're just confused.
And
you think you're. No, that's you. Sit back a little bit for the microphone there, will you? And don't disagree with me. I knew you were going to say that.
All right. So this week, anyway, I was reading a letter to Sarah and John Ashton. I was reading a letter in some magazine. I don't want to say The Guardian yet again, but I think it might have been The Guardian. And it was somebody writing in and saying, I need help basically with my inability to be happy with my lot. And they weren't talking about like their lot in life, but literally their physical lot. No, I mean, they were saying basically, I'm always looking for some, I'm always looking to move. I moved from my last house, like they're in their late 50s. I moved from my last house because I didn't have a big enough garden. I'm now in a house with a bigger garden. I can't manage it and I need to move again. And they said, so I realized that my reasons for moving are not actually based in reality. And I wonder what's underpinning this lack of satisfaction or this restlessness that I feel within my life. It's frustrating to people around me. It's frustrating to me. Help, basically.
Huh. Yeah. How do I stop being a miserable bitch? Well, and you related.
It was, well, I kind of, well, shut up. It was only in this one, and they said like everything else in my life is fine. I have great relationships. You know, I'm very attractive. I'm successful in my career. I have a nice wardrobe. Sorry, now that you're talking about me again. And no, they didn't say any of those things, but they said, I have a good life. I have friends, et cetera, et cetera. But I see this restlessness as, you know, indicative of other underlying issues and like, what's it all about? And so the respondent or whatever, the letter, the mailbagger,
the advice giver,
the advice giver came back and said, you know, I wonder, is there something in your life, in like your early life that led you to behave like this? Is there something that makes you fear staying still, that you're going to miss out on things? Or why do you believe the grass to always be greener? You know, even though you're acknowledging yourself that like, it's not really logical. The feelings you have are not grounded in reality. And you'll be surprised to hear, I immediately thought, a spark of recognition flared in me. And I thought, how can I
make this about me?
Well, no, I actually thought, like, thank God I'm in therapy. All these years I was like, I can't go to therapy. I have nothing to give out about. I have no need to, like, there's nothing. It'd be so boring. I went, you know, I grew up, I was pretty overweight. I'm okay now. My parents were really nice to me. I was good in school. You know, I was like, there was no,
but
I still felt, you know, that I had, sorry, they're being so noisy.
It's fine. Listen, no. FYI, everyone, it's spring break is here. Spring break and the kids are full of beans and they're at home and they're yelling in the background. And that's just what American kids sound like when they're on spring break. You'll never know because you're not in America.
It's really annoying.
Honestly, well, don't even worry about it.
Tell them to be quiet.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. They're on their holliers.
Now they're running around upstairs.
They're grand. Don't even worry about it.
Well, we're trying to, you know, we're trying not to let the side down because we get so many comments about people who consume our, it's mainly people who consume our free content who are irate when we don't stick to our schedule. And the people who support us on Patreon tend to be a little bit more forgiving when we, you know, take a week off at Christmas or miss an episode because we started a new job or some of the other things that we'll talk about soon, etc.
You know, when people can unsubscribe on Patreon, they can select a reason, right? So they can say like, I can't afford it anymore or whatever. And sometimes they can say the user wasn't as active as they promised or, you know, I didn't get the services I was promised. We literally, the only time we've got one of those in about the last 6 months was during Everyday Feb. And I was like, you are now getting 5 episodes a week and you think we're not giving you what we said we were going to give you, which is 1 extra episode a week. It's like, what the hell? But the really annoying thing about Patreon is that it's all anonymous, so I can't email someone and go, what's your problem?
Well, we did also have a period, but like we did have, you know, last year was tough, which again, we're going to talk about soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So I started to think about myself anyway, and the fact that I'm always moving, right? I've moved how many times? I'm always moving house. I'm always excited to move
house. How many times have you moved?
About 18, genuinely. Moved country 6 times, or 5 times. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 times. I've moved within the country, 2, 3. In Italy, I moved to about 4 different apartments. In Paris, I lived in 3 different apartments. In New York, I lived in about 6 different places. In Dublin, I lived in about 3 different places. In Kilkenny, I lived in 1, 2, 3 places.
In Dallas, you lived in 2, right?
In 2, yeah. And here I've lived in 2. So, I mean, I'm used to packing and like I'm fairly undaunted by packing and moving. And, you know, lots of these were fixer-uppers and renovating. And but like, I wonder where it comes from. And I started to think like, what is it that, and I do feel it now even, like I'd love to move. You know, I like my house, but I'd love to move. I'd love to move city. I love the starting again. I love the excitement, the what if, you know,
you'd love to move.
What's it going to be like?
Okay. Would you like to move or would you just, I was going to say something stupid. I was going to say, would you just suddenly love to be like, magic spelled into a new house? Like, it's not actually the moving that you like, is it?
Oh, I like moving. I like the whole thing. I like the anticipation. I like the purging, the cleaning, the prepping. I actually like all of it. It's weird. Yeah, I do.
Oh, that is weird. That's really weird. Talk to your therapist about that.
You know, I like all the like stuff that when you clean everything up and you give stuff away and you have bags and bags and it's all very satisfying, and yet it isn't. You know, the actual once you've moved, the empty house, the unpacking, like that's all
semi-exciting,
but more, yeah, anticlimactic, but also frustrating. You always have 6 stupid boxes that like hang around for at least a year. You're like, what the fuck's in these?
I'm thinking about the pens that I sent myself in those shipment containers
exactly.
From Ireland.
What emerges from these boxes is like somehow it's like in transit. It tarnishes and becomes like the crate and barrel, you know, packing that you did emerges looking a lot more like tatty.
Dollar Tree. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, what's this? Didn't look like this when I put it in.
I know exactly what you mean. You're like, my precious things. And then you open it up and you're like, junk, trash.
Yeah. Well, also, like, I think when you're cleaning up, there is a point where you're just like, throw it all in. You know, some of the boxes are really well organized.
Yes. And then the last three boxes like, always end up being just fire it in that box there.
The last 13. And, you know, there's just stuff like, well, where does this really go? You're like, well, that box is closed. You know, so there's one box that just has a load of crap in it. But anyway, you know, and I started to think about like, what is the root of this? Partly it was, you know, I'm going for my career, etc. But I, you know, and I was really surprised, I think, when I moved to Dallas, when I came to New York, not so much New York, because a lot of people from New York are not from New York. A lot of people that you meet there, you know, are people from all over the country and the world. Same with Paris. But when I went to Dallas, I was so surprised, like when I would say to people, oh, you know, there's a great job here or whatever. And they'd go, oh, yeah, well, I'm not moving, you know, and I'm like, what do you mean you're not moving? And they're like, well, I live here. You know, my family's here. And like, I got this job out of college and, you know, I'm working here and I plan to get another job around the corner or I plan to stay here for 10 years, you know. And that was really a different mindset for me.
I was actually just thinking about that earlier because I was thinking about, oh, my friend Hannah sent me a link to a country music song where she was like, I was saying I like country music and she was like, do you like this? And it was this song that at one point it goes like, Uncle Sam's going to put a boot in your ass. And in the music video, he's performing in front of the military and all the soldiers stand up and start high-fiving and whooping and hollering at Uncle Sam's boot in your arse, right? And I was literally like, you know, this is really mean to send to me because I'm the only one who can't leave this place. Like, of our group, this particular WhatsApp group, nobody else has kids, nobody else is. But then I was like, actually, I think most of them, except probably Hannah, who sent it to me, she's from Florida and she and her husband have lived, like they've lived in South America and they've lived in Thailand, they've moved all around. Aside from them, I think the rest of the girls would probably say, no, I can't move because I have family here, because I have a job here, because I'm tied here, or like whatever it is. You know what I mean? Whereas in my head, I'm like, you're free. You can go anywhere. But I'm sure they think, no, I'm here now. I'm here.
I thought you were going to say because you don't have a working visa and you can't leave, you're trapped. You really are trapped. I thought you meant like even if Uncle Sam put his boot in your arse, there's nowhere you could go.
No, I meant like, we have the boys here and Brandon's family and the boy's mom, and like, there's no way. Because in my head, I'm always thinking, if only there was a way that like we could go and we could bring the boy's mom and her partner and we could leave and go to Ireland, for example, or to anywhere in Europe, right? Because I lately have got really homesick for the idea of Europe. I'm really yearning for Europe. And it's never really occurred to me to go, I don't know that they would want to go.
Oh, guaranteed they wouldn't want to go.
Guaranteed, maybe, Beatrice.
No, guaranteed. Would. The idea of like upping sticks and leaving everything, you know, especially to people who have lived, you know, in the same place their entire lives. It's not like, and I don't mean that as a criticism, although I will tell you, like 20-year-old me was very judgmental. Like, why wouldn't you want to leave? Why would you want to stay in the one place forever? Like, why are you so unadventurous, you know?
20-year-old you?
Correct.
Listen, till the minute I landed on these fair shores, you were incredibly judgmental about my decisions to stay
in Ireland. Just about you. That's not about everybody else.
Why?
Rosemary, it's because I saw the wings. I saw the potential for you to spread your wingalings and come to Fort Wayne and share your genius here. What?
I frequently now regret, like, why did I not come when you were in New York?
I agree. Well, I mean, Mom and Dad, this is their favorite place. When I asked them, what's your favorite place that I've lived? Now, I don't know if they were trying to make me feel better because they looked out and they're like, it's freezing and she's trapped, you know. She's no job. She can't go anywhere. But now I have a job. Who knows?
But this is also the longest you've been in one place, hasn't it? So I feel like they've got attached to it in that sense.
Well, it's nearly the longest. I mean, apart from living in Ireland. You know, and I'm...
That doesn't count, though. The longest as an adult.
Well, it kind of does count. 21 years. How long have I been here? 8 years.
But is this the longest you've lived in one city since you became an adult?
8 years. Yeah. 8 years. Yeah. New York was 3 years and Dallas was 3 years. New York was maybe 5 years, actually. And then Dallas was 3 years. And Milan and Paris, but I've got a 3 year itch.
Milan and Paris were both only 3 years.
Yeah.
They felt like much longer, didn't they? Felt like you had a whole, did have a whole life, but like you had a whole life there.
Yeah, we were young and unencumbered. We did a lot more because also there were, not to go back to the stalking conversation, but there were pavements. You could walk everywhere. You could explore. You know,
I thought you were going to say because there were loads of men to stalk. That's how my mind works. You said not to go back to the stalking conversation. No, but I
don't stalk men. I stalk women. No, I don't stalk anyone. Take that out. But anyway, yeah. And I started thinking about like growing up and, you know, my kids are always complaining because we live like in Fort Wayne. But you describe where we live, like in terms of not on a bus route, you can't go anywhere walking distance. You have to drive everywhere, right? I mean, Fort Wayne is not great for transits. It's like everywhere has a walking score of like 12 out of 100, need a car to get places. But like you can drive, you can walk to your neighbor's house. You know, you can live in a neighborhood, whereas we do not live in a neighborhood. It's much more similar to where we grew up.
No, you live in the Red Gap of Fort Wayne, as in... There are lots of nice houses that all have their own land. And with no traffic, if you live in Red Gap, you could get to Dublin City Centre in 20 or 30 minutes. Now, there's never no traffic, so that's not realistic. But that's where you live in comparison to the downtown of Fort Wayne. It's just that in Fort Wayne, you can get anywhere in 20 minutes or less.
That's true. But the kids are always complaining. And it just reminds me, like, I keep wondering why I chose to live here. Now, I was saying to Don the other day, you know, you just don't think before you have kids, you don't make plans, like you don't purchase property. Well, certainly, I take this back. Everybody else probably is very planful and logical, and I am not, right?
Planful. Okay, I was just checking the word that you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look it up. And when I bought, like, I never thought about bus routes or in the last house, in this house, I did think about school zones, right? But I mean, we bought our house in Dallas with school zones in mind. And on this, you know, on online, it said, this is the house you're zoned for. When we actually moved in, then they were like, oh, only joking. When I called the school, they were like, oh, no, sorry, your back lane is the cutoff point. Like literally where our,
what?
The back driveway was the cutoff point for that school zone. So we were zoned into another school. I mean, it was a grand school, you know, but it wasn't.
That's really annoying, deliberately, though.
Why I had purchased that
you
house.
You should
so
have sued
raging.
Your realtor, like those people who sued the National Association of Realtors recently and won.
Yeah, I should have, but I didn't because I'm not litigious and I was less Americanized than I am now. But anyway, so, you know, we didn't think about it. Anyway, the kids were always complaining, why don't we live in a neighborhood? I just want to walk home with my friends. And it so reminds me of growing up. I was always like, why can't I sit in the wall? Okay, I didn't have an American accent. Why can't I sit in the wall in Rathcoole after
Excuse
school?
Me, Mom,
why can't
Mom,
I walk down past the chippers? I mean,
would,
they were
I've been
me.
Reading a lot of Jane Eyre. Would that I could sitteth on the wall yonder with mine friends, mother?
Oh, listen, would that I could roll around in the backfield with, you know, whatever unfortunate young man was my obsession of choice at the time. I mean, this is what I thought everybody was doing. I thought everybody was rolling around in the fields at the back of Rathcoole. I thought they were sitting on the small wall down opposite the primary school, which when you think about it now, like, and, you know, all hanging out before they went home. And I was just like,
Beatrice,
this is where the conversations were happening.
Beatrice, I remember it well. There was one day after school when got into a fight with and she stole his runner, and I've never had such extreme FOMO, and I couldn't get anyone to give me a really accurate picture of it, like, where were you, how did the fight start, what did she do with the runner,
which runner was
run
it off? Which foot,
yeah. Did she run after her with only one runner on? Who was deemed to have won this quote-unquote fight? I was so annoyed that I missed it. Like, oh, the like scandal of it all. And I was never going to, like, it wasn't even that I was like around the corner and missed it. I was never going to be there because I was at home, miles away.
Well, and Mom says as well, you know, our cousins used to live in Rathmines, and that was the other one, especially as a teenager, where I mean, would have given your eye teeth to
I was just about to say you would have given something of mine.
And Mom says, it must have been like a laugh a minute, because I hate when the kids complain about leaving places. And, you know, she said they used to drive home and I would cry from Rathmines all the way to Uachtaráin in the car.
Oh my God, like another child we heard of weeping this week. Not off the ground, he licked it.
One of my other children said to me today, this is where so-and-so gets it, Mom. When I was doing some imitation of him. I was going, and you're like, this bloody, bloody, bloody. Oh, I see where so-and-so gets his actorliness and surliness. Yeah, it wasn't my best moment. But anyway, yeah, so used to cry coming back from Rathmines. But like, I so badly, like, it was so cool. People could walk to their friends. Friends could pop over and make copious amounts of toast and hang out in your kitchen. You know, it's why I loved having parties, why I still love having parties.
So but people like can make toast in your kitchen.
I just wanted to be like that house that people wanted to hang out in, you know, and I still want to be it. Unfortunately, I don't think, well, I think Bo's my hope. Bo's my ray of hope that like he's going to want to have gangs of people over, but I don't know.
I was just about to say, I always thought that I wanted to be that house as well until the boys started having their friends over. And then I immediately was like, nope, I want the neighbors to be that house.
Well, I had somebody come over today who's related to you. And he was helping me pick up all the. I watched him pick up all of the trees, the fallen trees in the yard, and like he did a great job. He cut down all the rotten branches and everything. Yeah, he did a great job. Oh no, he didn't cut down that one rotten branch. When he goes, I saw his car pulling out of the driveway. He's here for about an hour, and I saw his car pulling out of the driveway. And I was like, oh my God, he didn't do the back. He forgot about the back. And he texted and he goes, I think I got everything done, you know. And I wrote back and I said, I don't think you did. I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't think I showed you the back. And he goes, oh, I went out the back. I go out. It was so embarrassing. It was totally done. Anyway, he came back later on to pick up his payment.
Knob.
I know. Yeah. He came back later on to pick up his payment. And he goes, you're so wonderful living here. He goes, not a neighbor in sight.
I know. They love whereas you're on the other hand going, neighbor, wherefore art thou, neighbor?
I've never had neighbors that I was so, you know, social with, but I want the kids to have, like, to bring over the friends. I actually don't want to see any adults. I don't want any adults coming over. Like, we have friends And they are...
No, that's not true, because one of your boys' friends' moms called over recently and we were both like, we want to be her bestie. So that's not true.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, that's a happy... Like, that's a happy accident. I don't just want to be the house on the neighborhood. Like, where we have a friend who definitely is that house in the neighborhood. Everybody, every time you go over there, are eight grown-up neighbors
in
their
house.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. You want to be allowed to read your book and you want the kids to be having a great time.
Correct. And every time they come home, there's somebody else sitting in their pool or in their hot tub. And I'm like, no thanks.
Oh my God, I would lose my mind.
Yeah,
listen,
no thanks.
And the other thing about neighbors is, remember, my neighbor got a new dog several months after she met my new baby. And what did she call her dog? Atlas.
Could have been worse. What if she'd called it Rosemary? That would have been brilliant. If I get a dog, I'm going to call it Rosemary.
She didn't know my name. That would have just been a coincidence. And then a few weeks later, when I met her grandson, and I was like, oh, blah, 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 this is my son Atlas. And he went, that's our dog's name. And
I've just realised I'm going to get an Irish setter, and then I'm just going to call it Rosemary. I'm going to say, this is Rosemary. She's an Irish bitch.
And then I'm going to tell everyone that my sister is so fucking obsessed with me that she called her dog Rosemary. An Irish fucking bitch. Think you're funny, don't you?
Yeah, and then every now and then I'm going to beat Rosemary with a stick.
You're going to say, oh my God, Rosemary did the biggest shit in the kitchen yesterday.
Exactly, be brilliant. Like, Rosemary's got another tick.
Oh my God, Rosemary was licking her private parts really inappropriately yesterday in front of our guests.
So anyway, what about you, Rosemary? Are there any behaviors that you exhibit as an adult, please, nothing to do with licking, that you feel are tied to your upbringing similarly?
Well, I don't know, actually. I think probably I'm very jealous of people. And I wonder if that's because you would never let me play with you and your friends. So actually, maybe it's all your fault.
Mom, I was great and let you play with them all the time.
Okay, well, the thing is, Beatrice, when one remembers one's childhood, one remembers the significant moments of extreme emotion. And in my case, it was trauma at you and your friend Rachel in your room playing with your Barbies and you calling mom and being like, Mom, come and take Rosemary out of my room. And she did.
That sounds fair, though. That sounds fair. I mean, I was trying to hang out with my mate and you were getting in the way.
I was cramping your style, and now I've spent my entire life worrying about cramping your style. Oh, and the other thing is, you have such a big personality, Beatrice, that when I met Brandon, a couple of months after meeting him, he told me that he thinks I'm more of a follower than a leader.
What's that got to do with me?
You're the leader, and I'm the one following you around.
No, he thinks he's the leader.
No, that's not it. No.
Well I was raging the other day when I called my friend Kerry, and you answered the phone. You see, there you are moving in on my friends again. There you are moving in on my friends.
It was your first day at work. I had just gone to Trader Joe's. I was laden down with flowers for you.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. I'm there like putting, and I'd met Kerry for a really quick coffee before I came over to deliver my flowers to Braddy Brat Brat. And I knew as I saw her phone ring. Oh no, the worst thing was I had just texted you something and you'd written back, okay. And I was like, God, Beatrice must be really busy. She never just writes back one word answers. That's not like her. Next thing you know, obviously you're using all your time to call Kerry.
So jealous. Anyway, you also mentioned another one, Rosemary, because mom and dad growing up were constantly threatening to move house.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know how this has affected me, but I feel like it definitely has. So honestly, all that I can remember of my teenage, my adolescent years, my years in secondary school, every single year, every spring, mom was like, this is the year we're going to put the house on the market. And so I was imagining we were going to move to, mom was always talking about moving into town, right? Even though, like, I don't think they could ever have afforded to sell the house and move into town the way the market was up until after we'd graduated, right? And I was convinced that we were going to end up moving like to Terenure or near Rathmines. And every single year, I would tell my friends at school that I probably wouldn't be back after the summer. Like, they convinced me, Beatrice.
Oh my God, you were getting all your friends' hopes up, and then every single September they'd come back and there you'd be.
Fucking bitch. But it was getting my hopes up because I was imagining that every September I was going to end up going into a new school and being the new girl. I always wanted to be the new girl. It was so exciting.
I would have been raging if I was living in Paris and you were moving to Rathmines, living my dream teenage life.
You weren't living in Paris.
Well, like Milan, whatever. You don't have to correct everything.
No. I was going to say you were still in Kilkenny at that point. So I don't know how you've wiped all this from your brain. But mom and dad were always threatening this while you were still around.
Rosemary, they've been doing this for 50 years. But like, I mean, I just never took it seriously. I never believed them. I was just like, yeah, we'll believe when we see it. Because I think I also never thought I'd be lucky enough to move to Rathmines or Rathgar. And let me tell you, I was correct. But I mean, do you think this is part of maybe like your neediness, you know? The lack of stability, that you just don't feel grounded. So like you need people to reassure you. Like, is that why you're always trying to, every time Brandon comes into the room, like you're jumping on him? I was thinking of that expression yesterday, climbing somebody like a tree, which I hate. And I was like, that's you and Brandy. You're always climbing them like a tree.
Well, actually, somebody messaged me a couple of weeks ago and I was talking about smutty books. And they said something. Oh, no, it was actually when I did one of my Q&As and they sent me a message and they said, do you always want to climb your tall husband like a tree? He's just like one of the men in one of those books.
Ooh, did he love that? I bet he was delighted. I hope he didn't
tell him about that. Are you joking? Yesterday, I started having an argument with him because of how he never argues with me. And I was literally like I got annoyed with something he'd said. And I was like, you're just saying this because like you don't actually know any more than I do. It was like typical, right? Something stupid. And then I got annoyed and he basically kind of batted it off and was like, okay, well, there's no need to, you know, have an argument about it. Let's talk about something else. And I was like, no, you know what? This is what makes me really insecure, is that the fact that it feels like you don't care enough about me to argue with me about things. And honestly, I think he's still looking baffled.
Well, you must think then that I really love you, because I'm willing to argue with
strangely,
you at any moment.
Beatrice, back to the theme of this episode, everything isn't about you. So at that point, I did not immediately start thinking about my sister, Beatrice McCabe.
Oh, did you not? Well, you did think about me the other night when you messaged me late at night, very late at night, and said,
you're making this sound weird.
Would you like to sing that song to me and Brandy now?
It actually wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, because you managed to keep a remarkably straight voice and I was like nearly wetting myself, and Brandon was just really baffled. It was like, you two are so weird. But you really kept it together.
Why don't you give some background there?
But listen, people should just know, very early on in the podcast, we talked about this, about how Beatrice, we had watched an episode of Smothered where every single night a mother called her daughter, she put her on speakerphone and she basically sang her to sleep. And Beatrice got it in her head that she really, really wanted to do this to me.
Sorry. In bed with her husband.
Oh yeah, sorry. She was in bed with her husband and the mother would ring her and she'd put it on speakerphone and the mother would sing her to sleep. And Beatrice was like, imagine if I did that to you now, what would Brandon say? And so we tried it once about 3 years ago, but the two of us were laughing so much we couldn't get through like a single word. And then the other night finally, but I thought the Sally Gardens was a really weird choice as well.
I was totally taken aback. You didn't give me any time to plan. It was all I could think about. It's like time I had to sing in front of the whole office in Paris. And all I could think of, that wasn't an Italian song, was that one that has the little skippy laugh in the middle.
Oh my God, what song was it to get the little skippy laugh?
You know,
the one
that's like, I know where I'm going.
Sorry, could you not have just sung Molly Malone?
Going with me. No, because he told me to sing an opera song. Yeah, I know that. I fucking hated that
in
laugh part.
Dublin's fair city. You could have made it operatic.
Well, you reminded me there, the way you sang that there, you reminded me now. You should do an album like that. You reminded me of Beyonce and her new album. Yeah.
We've completely gone off the subject now, but I'm sure there'll be generations of people in 30 years to come who attribute their trauma to this Beyonce album. 27 tracks.
You could call it Warbler Wallace. What did she call it? Cowboy Carter.
Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
My surname is not Wallace, Beatrice, you misogynist.
No, but her husband's surname is Carter, so you could be.
Her surname is Carter. She's Beyonce Knowles Carter.
I'm aware of that.
I just wasn't sure how much you knew about the culture, Beatrice.
It's very hard. It's very hard to make jokes with you around.
I know, because you're just not funny by comparison.
Right. So that's it. So basically, you wanted to hang out with me and you were afraid that... Were you afraid mom and dad were going to move? Or like you were afraid they weren't going to move? Or you were looking for the excitement? Or you wanted to be the new girl?
I was looking for the excitement. I wanted to be the new girl. I was very excited about this move. And like every year as well, I imagined that I was going to be like you. So I was excited about packing everything up and having a new house and having a new adventure. And we just... Every single year I got promised... And actually, when you think about it, like that's really tragic. Every single year I got promised that we were going to have this great adventure and then we fucking never had it.
They still haven't had it. They're still, every time they come over, this to between, first of all, they talk about their funerals and then they talk about moving house. I mean, and they're doing the wrong way around. You to move house first.
And then die.
Yeah, hopefully. Because if you die, you can't move house.
Well, if you die, you're saved the hassle of moving house in my mind. But you'd be upset then.
Well, I need to go over and help them like sort out that house. I don't think they're ever. I think the problem is they can't let go. They're very attached to stuff for people who claim to not be materialistic.
They're very superficial. And I think
Dad would happily get rid of everything, which is half the problem, honestly, except like all of his own stuff, right? So he's quite happy to get rid of the communal stuff, you know, but anything to do with his hobbies, such. What about any of those magazines? Like you have the entire, what's it called? Model Engineering back to 1900 and something, which like, really? Or has he really read them all? Oh, no. And I'm like, have you looked into donating them to a library? No, I haven't. They wouldn't want them. Well, then let's give them away. No, couldn't give them away.
Sure. Wasn't Mom convinced that she was going to donate somebody's christening gown to the little Dublin library? And then they were like, no, we have enough christening gowns. Poor Mom.
Well, and then, you know, she said to Dad recently, like, take a look at the bookshelf there now and decide which books we can give away. I mean, he isn't very helpful. All of them. You'd want to fucking brain him.
I know, he's in fact very annoying. I would in fact brain him.
Yeah. It should be like you have 100 chits to keep your lazy boy, right? So you have to pick 100 books or the lazy boy's going with the books.
100 what did you say?
Chits. C-H-I-T-S.
I
like tokens.
You said 100 chits. Oh.
No. Chits.
I can't hear the word token now. It just brings me right back to the trauma of Crazy Pins. Yeah, Mom called me the other day and said basically that she was trying to go through the books and Dad was driving her mad.
Well, she's just as bad, sorry. In fairness, because every time I say to her, like, what about that sideboard that you found in a skip?
Sorry, you know, not that even you found the sideboard, the side Beatrice. Road. I gave her six pieces of furniture and I said, of these six pieces of furniture, which one would you not bring? I'd bring them all. Why wouldn't I bring them all? I'm like, because you're going to be moving to a smaller house. Why? I mean, I'm not moving if I can't bring my six sideboards, basically. I was like, you don't need all of those.
She's actually a disgrace as well. I said, I'd really like that painting back there. What? Coveting everything we have in the house? Why should you get it? Why should you get it and not your sister? I was like, fine, give it to Rosemary. We give them all to Rosemary. I was like, fine. Okay, I'm not looking to have an argument.
She's actually mad. She said to me recently something about, what are we going to do with this? And I said, why don't you give it to charity? And she goes, well, I'd offer it to the family before I gave it to charity. I was like, well, then offer it to the family, you fucking maniac.
Well, I mean, they're very, I mean, maybe it's nice to have such pride in your belongings, but like they recently gave away a stool and raffled it off to the family. So, I mean, it's going to take a while. That raffle alone took several weeks.
Is this the elephant's foot?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should tell people Mom and Dad had a very un-PC chair that they got from Mom's aunt who lived in Africa for many years and at one stage brought home an elephant's foot that has been made into a piano stool. And when I moved over here, Mom was convinced I was going to bring this with me. And I was like, Mom, you cannot transport ivory across continents. It is illegal. Like you cannot, that's not a legal thing to move around the place. And she honestly asked me about four times, am I putting that in the shipment? I was like, no.
Do you know, it's a very sad piece of furniture though, all the same. Like, you know, I feel like it should be respected because it exists now. You know what I mean? You can't undo it. Like you don't want to throw it in the skip because that's even worse. But it's very sad.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Yeah. Like, it's so sad. And like, I remember when I was young feeling like, oh, wow, like really, this stool really serves to show me how big elephants are. But then when I got older, I was like, they're so like majestic and incredible. The fact that people would kill them to break up their body parts and make them into things is just so gross. It's really sad.
So regardless of what it is, though, it got raffled off and my point is more like that's how they're going to be behaving about everything in the house. Everything's going to be a 2-week raffle. So by the time they're finished, they've downsized enough stuff to actually move. It's going to be the year 2037.
If only they were raffling with actual lotto tickets, maybe they could end up moving to Rathmines.
That'd be great. Oh, did you check the lottery tickets that you bought last week?
Yeah, that was a no. Sorry, not a single one.
Kevin texted me last week. I don't know where he was, but he couldn't check the lotto. And he says to me, did you win the lotto? I said, no. And he goes, it was a massive jackpot for the, you know, whatever, like the Powerball, 30 something million or 300 something. I don't know how much it was in America. Anyway, like crazy, massive. You know, as Dad likes to say, telephone numbers. And I wrote back, I said, no, I didn't. Did you? And I said, you've always been my favorite. And he didn't reply.
Well, as Dad always says, if you win the lotto, you tell absolutely no one.
Yeah. Is that what you would do?
I don't know.
Is that what you're doing with those tickets you bought?
Is that what I would do? I like that you think that I have that power over my mouth. I do not. Thank you all so much for listening to Not Without My Sister. If I win the lotto, you'll all be the first to know.
Thanks for listening.
Please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/notwithoutmysister. You can sign up to the tip jar level if you don't have time for any extra episodes, or you just have a little bit of money that you'd like to throw our way to show us that you appreciate the podcast. You want to keep the lights on in podcast HQ. You want us to keep doing this. $2 a month for the tip jar level. Otherwise, you can get bonus content for $5 a month, ad-free episodes, and access to our live Zoom book club.
And we have a catalogue of how many episodes on Patreon, Rosemary? Is this
300,
Patreon?
300 plus. No, no, this isn't Patreon. 300 plus episodes on Patreon. I have to double check. 300 and something.
Very good. So lots of listening to put in your ears if you feel so inclined.
Loads. Loads.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.